We're finishing the book of Titus, chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, and it's a great chapter as he's closing this down. I'll review it very quickly, just looking at chapter 3. It says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, and he gives them a list of things to do as Christians. Then he lists some things that, because we've changed, we've been born again, we are different, and he describes in verses 3 and 4 how we used to be. And then he has that great theological statement that takes up three verses that basically sums up the entirety of the Gospels. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, who he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This saying is trustworthy, and that's a powerful thing. This is a trustworthy saying. And I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for all people. And then in verse 9 and 10, he gives a warning, but avoid these things. We spent some time last week talking about that, but basically it's the controversies, the genealogies, and that's coming from quarrels about the law and things that are unprofitable and worthless, just things that you're teaching that are not, you know, they're speculation. They're not something solid. They're going to cause division. And then there's place to go and talk about things that are interesting, like, you know, is there life on Mars or something? But it's like if you spend too much time talking about all these divisive issues, you're going to miss the focus of we're saved by grace and Jesus Christ, now empowered to do good works that we couldn't do before because of the grace that's alive in us. And this, again, that summary statement he had in those three verses before. And now we come to the end of the book, and I'll read these verses 12 through 15. It's the end of the book, and so sometimes, you know, and I do my daily reading, and I get to the last paragraph of a book, you just got to blah, 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 close it down and go on, you know, go to sleep or whatever. But it's always as interesting if you break it down and look at it, especially here, you get a behind-the-scenes look of what's going on in the church, in the ministry of Paul and the church, because there's guys coming and going, you know, in 60 A.D., you know, around that time period. It says, when I send, chapter 3, verse 12, when I send Artemis and Tychicus to you, to Titus, on the Isle of Crete, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Now, we have no church in Nicopolis. We have no letters to Nicopolis, but Paul's going to go there. We'll show you where it's at, but you know, it's north of Corinth. It's on the west side of the peninsula there, or comes down in Greece. And then, do your best to speed Zenos the lawyer and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing. So there's two guys that are coming, and it would appear that these two guys are going to be carrying this letter from Paul wherever he's at. We're not sure where he's at. He's left Crete, and we're assuming he's moved north, either north into Corinth or north towards Ephesus, where he's dropping Timothy off, because he's writing 1 Timothy the same time he's writing this letter, and Timothy's being dropped off at Ephesus, and then Paul may have dropped him off at Ephesus and then moved on towards Troas, and then wrote a letter back to Timothy, and then wrote a letter back to Titus as he's moving towards Nicopolis for the winter. So most likely he went to Corinth on his way to Nicopolis, but he had to send Timothy there. I'll look at a couple maps. But nonetheless, Zenos the lawyer, who we know nothing about, we haven't heard of him before, and Apollos, and we've heard quite a bit about him, on their way. So they're coming wherever Paul's at. Say they're in Corinth. They're going to carry the letter down to Crete because they're going somewhere. And we'll take a look at that. Help them on their way. See that they lack nothing. So when they get there, you, Titus, are in charge of making sure these people have provisions, you know, seafare, whatever they need to get to their next location. And then, you know, an important verse that kind of follows that. And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works. And that, I think, you could be very general. As a Christian, you need to be doing good works. Just make sure you do good works. But in the context, when Zenos the lawyer and Apollos get there, Titus isn't going to write them a check, you know, out of the church ministry or the Titus ministry. It's going to be the people of the church. Okay, these two guys have come as missionaries or as ministers, and they're taken and going somewhere. They're part of our group. The good work would be let our people learn to devote themselves to good works. This is, in a sense, a great opportunity for them to step up their game and help these guys get to the next location, so as to help cases of urgent need. and not to be unfruitful. And again, we'll talk about that when we go through this. Again, when I go through the notes, a lot of times I repeat myself, if you've maybe noticed over the years. But devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need. And that is, we'll point that out, urgent need, meaning there are some things that are urgent that you need people to step up and help with. But there's also things that are, like Galatians says, let everyone carry their own load. There are certain things that's, you know, you say, well, I've got all these, like, well, how can I help? It's like, hey, not my problem. I mean, everyone's got, you know, you've got to get your own groceries. You know, you've got to mow your own yard. You've got to, you know, build your own relationships. You've got things, that's your responsibility. But then when there's an urgent need, maybe these guys are traveling, or when someone falls into a situation where they can't handle it, well, then we need to step in and help. But there's that clear dividing line where that's not my problem. You need to figure out what you need to get a job. Or if you can't get a job and you've had disadvantages, and then we'll step in and help. But it's just interesting that it's very clearly pointed out that the word is translated here in the English Standard Version, help cases of urgent need. Not everyone that comes begging at your door needs help. Some of them just need, you know, a word of encouragement and go your way. And the verse I'd give them is, let every man carry his own burden. Good luck today. And of course, good luck would not be a good Christian phrase to use, but, you know, God's grace be with you, I suppose. Help cases of urgent need and not to be unfruitful. And then the very last verse, all who are with me send greetings to you. So he's somewhere in a church. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. So with that being said, we've got some maps I want to look at here. I think we got, first thing, what we got here? We're going back this way. All right, this is just to put this in perspective. This is the missionary trip that Paul took, 57 to 62 AD, when he goes from Jerusalem, is shipwrecked, or they stop here at Crete, they're shipwrecked here at Malta, and then come on up, and the church welcomes him, and he visits Rome for the first time there, but he's on a prison ship there. This is the island of Crete. You can see some places on the location there. This is Paul when he gets done, when he's released from prison. The book of Acts ends with Paul under house arrest, and he is then apparently released, and we don't know for sure what he does. He could have gone back to these churches. I like to think, and he refers in Rome that he was planning on going to Spain. His intention was to get to Rome. They'd send him to Spain. Is there enough time for him to get to Spain and spend any quality time and get back? That's possible. I mean, it could work. I like to see him going to Spain and then coming back, and on his way back from Spain, he stops at Crete, and somehow Paul's on Crete, not just on a prison ship, but he's on the island of Crete. And again, it's got its own culture. We've seen in the text of Scripture, it starts off that they're liars and they're deceivers, but then some people have come out of that and have come to Christ, so they're changing the culture, but yet there's still a divided, you know, corrupt culture and those that are growing in Christ. And he gets real positive here towards the end of this letter. And that's where he's at right now. And he's done his work with Titus. He's leaving Titus behind and he's heading somewhere. I, on this map, have a line drawing up here that he goes to Corinth. And there he's going to see Zenas the lawyer, and Apollos, who's also a scribe, a well-versed Bible scholar in the Old Testament. Now, when it talks about him being a Bible teacher, or, as you know, communicating, Apollos, there's not like, well, he knew the New Testament real well. You know, he doesn't. There's no New Testament. It's being put together. So Apollos, if he's any kind of a teacher, he's a Jewish teacher who's come to Christ. So if he's well-schooled, he can't be well-schooled in Paul's epistles, or he can't be well-schooled in the book of Revelation, for example, or the Gospel of John, because it's not written yet. It's 20 years away from 30 years away from being written. But he's what we'd say a Bible teacher, but, you know, Old Testament framework. Well, these two seem to be up here in Corinth, and that's Apollos. We know he'd spent time in Acts in Corinth, and they're going to be sent somewhere. But wherever they're being sent to Crete, because they're going to land there. It must be on the way. This is just like I speculate that Paul went to Spain with, you know, justification. I mean, there's reasons for that. We're just speculating here that these guys are going to come to Crete with the letter of Titus, give it to Titus, and they're on their way, possibly heading back to Alexandria, because that's where Apollos is from. He's from Alexandria. Remember, he came from Alexandria We met him when he came to Ephesus, and he ran into Aquila and Priscilla, and they instructed him in a more adequate way. In other words, he was teaching the Bible, but they brought him aside and said, hey, let me tell you about Jesus Christ, the resurrection, what's taking place in Jerusalem, and got him caught up in the New Testament issues. And then, you know, he met Paul. He ends up coming to Corinth, and he's in Corinth with Paul. And it seems that there was, the way Paul begins the letter 1 Corinth, it seems like there was a little, not friction between Paul and Apollos, but people were becoming groupies. You know, someone says, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, and others, well, no, they're very spiritual, I follow Christ. And Paul says, you know, we're not divided, we're all teaching the same thing. So Paul and Apollos were on the same team. Sometimes people saw them, you know, different, because again, Apollos is from Alexandria, Paul is from Jerusalem, or, you know, from the tribe, the sect of the Pharisees. But nonetheless, that's possibly what's happening there. Here's another map, if you don't mind. Same thing, there's the island of Crete, and this is possibly Paul's going from Crete to Corinth, where he meets Zenas and Apollos, or he's got, if Timothy's involved in this, and he is, he may have taken Timothy and dropped him off at Ephesus, and then went on to Troas up this way, and then wrote the letter back to Timothy, 1 Timothy, and then wrote the letter back to Titus on Crete. He's heading here. Here's Nicopolis right there. That's where he's heading for the winter. So one scenario, I would, if I was the, you know, place a bet, I would say he leaves Crete, goes to Corinth, checks out on the church, and is going to spend the winter in Nicopolis right there. I think that's the trip. And he would have just sent Timothy over to Ephesus like that, then wrote a letter to follow that. But if you have him coming up this way and dropping Timothy off and going up here on his way to, and he would have visited the churches in Philippi. What's interesting about this, if you care, is when he writes 2 Timothy from prison in Rome, he tells him to bring his letters and his scrolls, or his, you know, the scriptures, and his coat that he left in Troas. He says, when you come, it's getting coming winter here, and he's in prison on his way to his execution. And in 2 Timothy, he says, when you come, bring the scrolls, the letters, you know, it'd be his study books, his Old Testament, letters that he'd written, and his coat that he left. And it's like, if I were to say, hey, bring my stuff, it would be a lot of stuff. It'd be like, you're going to have a U-Haul, you're going to have to, you know, take boxes. And he says, bring my stuff, you know, my books and my coat. It's like, you got, is this everything? You got the coat? That's all I got, is a coat. And I don't use it in the summer, but I need it in the winter. And so it's not like he's got all these possessions he's having brought over, just kind of interesting. But he is, again, because he says he left it in Troas, again, speculation, did he get arrested and taken as a prisoner and his stuff was left there? Or did he travel and go, oh, I forgot my books and my scrolls and my Old Testament and my coat, and I forgot them? Or, so I think possibly he was arrested in Troas. So that would be interesting if you care. If he leaves Crete, drops Timothy off, and gets to Troas, and that's where he's arrested and taken directly to prison. I think he leaves Rome, get out of prison, comes over to Spain, comes to Crete, and most likely stops in Corinth, sends Zenas and Apollos back to Crete on their way to Alexandria, and then goes up here and spends the winter in Nicopolis. And then that next spring, he travels up and is heading over to Ephesus again, and that's where he's captured in Troas. I mean, you can come up with your own scenario, but these are stories that, does that make sense at all? I mean, or am I just pointing at stuff and you're going, what are you talking about? Is anybody keeping up, or at least entertaining a travel route? Not that you agree, or but anyway, and that may be a weakness on my part, that I'm like interested in that kind of stuff, because it brings life into the, you know, where these letters are. They're not written some obscure place. He's left Crete, and he's left Titus there, and he's gone somewhere where he's going to meet, and he's met Zenas and Apollos, and they're coming here. They're traveling to Alexandria, possibly. They're going to carry the letter. And he's doing the same thing with Timothy over here in Ephesus. So with that being said, any questions about that? It's like, and there's one of those places where it'd be like, okay, that could be worthless information. All right, looking at the notes very quickly. We're focused on chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. All these things kind of pop up in here. Breaking down, they got 1, 2, 3 points at the top of the page. Chapter 3, verse 12 through 12, I think it's supposed to be a 13, is closing directions for ministry, action, and movement. That's kind of what we just read about. chapter 3, verse 14, restate the central theme. And then the greetings with the same mention of grace the letter began with, beginning in chapter 4. So chapter 3, verse 12. When I send Artemis and Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. So he's got Artemis and Tychicus, and we pick those names up other places. Well, at least Tychicus. And they seem to be the guys that he's going to be sending to oversee, and it maybe hasn't decided which one is coming yet. Titus will be relieved of his responsibility and come to Paul at Nicopolis and find his next assignment. So Tychicus will probably be going down there. Now, when you go down there in the notes, Artemis, point two, no other mention of this person in the New Testament. It's a common name, and Artemis was a Greek female goddess mentioned in Acts, and those are the mentions there. So remember, they're worshiping Artemis. So this guy apparently has, you know, the name Artemis after female god. Tychicus, on the other hand, traveled with Paul on the third missionary journey. He's from the Roman province of Asia, and that's where Ephesus and the letters to the seven churches were written to. He traveled with Paul and others to Jerusalem in Acts 20 when they brought that donation they collected from the Gentiles to bring to the poor Jews. And the Jews were poor, the Christian Jews were poor because they'd been cut off from culture. That's a general sense of it. The Jewish, they'd had a famine in the land, but particularly the Christians suffered because they had been isolated from their regular society because they accepted the Messiah that had been crucified. So the Gentiles took a collection and sent it with Paul and Tychicus and a team that brought it down and delivered it to the Jews. Tychicus had carried the letter to Ephesus, you can see right there, so that you also may know how I am doing and what I'm doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. So he carries the letter to Ephesus, and then he's going to answer questions on how Paul is doing. Also, Tychicus carries the letter of Colossae, same time, and those are the two references there. So you can see that those two guys, one we know something about, and he's very active. The other is the first time he pops up in Scripture. So now you begin to wonder, how big is Paul's ministry? Because we're introducing Zenas, the lawyer. Who's he? It's like he's a lawyer. And again, that word lawyer can mean he's a scribe, like a Pharisee in the Jewish law, or it means, like it most likely means, he's a lawyer in the Gentile world because he's from that area. He's probably not a Jewish lawyer, a Jewish scribe. He's a Roman Greek scribe or lawyer. And so it's interesting, that person pops up for the first time, and then this individual here, Artemis, pops up for the first time. And then where are Zenas the lawyer and Apollos going? Are they going to Alexandria? Well, you know, what's going on in Alexandria? Looks like there's a church down there, but we have no record of that. And we know that's where Apollos came from, but now they're going back. Are they on some kind of missionary trip? Or are they? We don't know about that. And then Paul, of course, is spending where he spends most of his winters, in Nicopolis. It's like, well, where's that? It's like, well, what? It's like, so there's places popping up that we don't ever hear. This is the last letter besides 2 Timothy. This is the last letter. And we've got people we don't know of. We've got places that, you know, we know where they're located, but they're not part of the story. So now you begin to wonder how connected was Paul? We know certain individuals like Timothy and Titus, you know, Tychicus, but how many people are moving in his orbit that he's organizing? He must have been a master leader. I mean, it's kind of a given considering that we still have his letters 2,000 years later. But God is definitely using him in a mighty way. And churches are popping up in a variety of other places. So anyway, that's Tychicus. Go back to the verse. When I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, they're on Crete. And that's where Titus will exchange his responsibilities. Do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I've decided to spend the winter there. And when you look at Nicopolis, is that, I've got something written down here on Nicopolis. Somewhere I wrote down Nicopolis. It was a city that, do you see it? Oh yeah, very good, about page two. It was a city that was started after, you go back to the civil war between Octavian, who became Caesar Augustus, and Antony and Cleopatra. Nicopolis was a city that was started from that time period. North, founded by Augustus in 31 BC after his victory over Antony and Cleopatra. It's a 5 to 10 day journey from Crete. I think Paul's stopping in Corinth on his way there. And you know, when it says, if I tell you, well, I'm going to be wintering in Nicopolis, You should probably assume that Tony and I are taking a few weeks. We're heading down to Nicopolis, and we'll be spending some time on the beach, you know, find restaurants, just take some time off. But I don't think Paul's spending the winter in Nicopolis because, you know, I just need a break. I'm going to take some time off, kick my feet up, sit on the beach. He's probably going to Nicopolis and spending the winter there because we've got a missionary working on. Some people have started a church here. I need to follow up and make sure they're on track, just like I do in Corinth and everything. He's probably up there. He's working. He's on the clock, most likely. And the thing is, he's got people moving around, shifting them around. He's also working in Alexandria. He's working in Crete. He's working in Ephesus. He stopped in Corinth. So he's still overseeing all these churches with people and letters. And now he's in Nicopolis. It's like, are you just finally going to take a break? Break? Well, no, I'm following up on a church that just broke out. Or we don't know. We just don't know. We just got that verse mentioned. Is I'll be spending the winter in Nicopolis. The phrase, spend the winter, sends me off into, where are you guys spending the winter? You know, it's like, I don't think Paul's thinking beach time, but maybe, hey, if anybody deserves, he has beach time in that prison trip. He ends up crashing on a beach, floated the sea for 3 days or something like that. So he's had plenty of water time and beach time that he doesn't need anymore, probably. Okay. Anything else we want to see there? Point E at the very top of the page too, since we're there. Tychicus was with Paul when he was arrested and in Rome prison the second time. That's not recorded in Acts because when Paul is arrested in Troas, that I think is where he was, and then goes to Roman prison and now is in a dungeon before he's under house arrest. In the book of Acts, he's just under house arrest. The church is coming and visiting. The Jews are coming and debating him. He's got his own rented apartment and he's just waiting to have his case heard by Nero, and he's come back and forth a couple times. The second time he's arrested, he's going to be put in a dungeon and then led to his execution south of town where he'll be decapitated. But yet he still somehow gets letters written, gets 2 Timothy written. It's at that time in 2 Timothy 4:12, top of page 2, Paul tells Timothy that he has sent Tychicus to Ephesus. So even while he's in a dungeon, imagine visiting Paul in a dungeon. I mean, if one of you ends up in a dungeon, I may send you an email, but I'm probably not going to be bold enough to come visit you in the dungeon and find out what are your directions and orders for me on my, you know, you're going to get your head cut off, but here, how can I help you work on your ministry? And again, I'm being facetious because if you're serious about it, you'd do it. But these guys, Tychicus is being sent to Ephesus by Paul to replace Timothy while he's in a dungeon on his way to get his head cut off, and then tells Timothy, I need you to bring me my coat because it's going to get cold here in the dungeon, and my books because I'm not done studying. I mean, if I'm in a dungeon on the way to get my head cut off, I may want my Bible, but I'm probably not going to be writing a lot of letters and books and things. I just, you know, give me my daily devotions or something. So it's just very interesting to see the action in this situation. But anyway, he says, Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. So, this is again in 2 Timothy. So whatever happens in this story of Titus coming up and meeting Paul in Corinth, you know, like he said, I'm going to send these guys, you come meet me here or meet me in Nicopolis. By the time he gets arrested, Titus is still being sent now to Dalmatia somewhere else at the end of this book. Luke alone is with me. So the author of the book of the gospel is with Paul there in the Roman dungeon or in Rome there. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me in my ministry. What kind of ministry do you have in a dungeon? Well, he's still writing letters and he's got Mark. So it appears people are coming and visiting him in the dungeon, even writing letters for him and being sent on missions by him. And that's when he says, for he is useful to me in my ministry. Then he says, Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. And that's where we see Tychicus again. Okay, chapter 3, verse 13. We've referred to this already, but do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. Now he's giving Titus directions. These two guys are going to be, they brought you the letter. Now that they're there, these are your instructions. They'll tell you where they're going, and you're responsible to get them to that next location. Speed them on their way. See that they lack nothing. And the references there, the word earnestly equipped. And the word earnestly and equipped, that's I'm looking right there at the Greek the box there. Earnestly means diligently, instantly, or speedily. So again, you can look at a deal of, you know, thoroughly, diligently, but it's probably more the ideal of instantly, quickly, they're on their way somewhere, don't delay them, quickly get them what they need so they can keep moving. It's probably the idea. And the word equip, quickly equipped, pro before and pepo sent before they sent, or send them forward escort or aid for travel. Quickly give them aid for travel so they can go where they're going. Now, we don't know where they're going. I'm guessing they're going from Corinth to Crete, and then from, or yeah, Crete, then down to Alexandria. And that's their destination, we're just guessing at. Point two, anything here? Titus is to help the people on their way. Zenas, I read all this. Apollos was a teacher in Corinth. You recognize the name Apollos. He'd come from Alexandria. He met Aquila and Priscilla. They gave him, in Ephesus, they gave him a more precise way, clarified some things. He goes to Corinth. Him and Paul worked in Corinth together. And that's how I've got that verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14, where he's asking them, they're following Apollos, but they think Apollos is leading them a different direction than Paul. But then Christ is leading them in a total direction different than Apollos, and you know, so they got arguments going on in the Corinthian church, which is normal for that, you know, city. But some are saying, well, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, and others say, well, no, I'm just following Christ directly, I'm not going to follow men. And Paul says, we're all saying the same thing. Page three, Zenas, the name means gift of Zeus. That's all we know about him. He's a lawyer, and we know what his name means. So he's clearly from the Greek culture. Lawyer is nomikos, likely an expert in Greek and Roman law. So maybe he's a lawyer that's helped Paul, you know, during his get out of prison the first time. But it could, like I said, it could refer to a scribe if he's a Jewish expert, but that doesn't seem to be the context of it. Then Apollos, and again, they got some things written down there. He's mentioned 10 times in the New Testament. Zenas and Apollo may be leaving Paul from Ephesus or Corinth, and then diligently send them along their way with any assistance they need is from the word, and again, it explains it there, it means financial support. Chapter 3, verse 14. And now, this next verse, switching subject, he says, and let our people, well, not switching subjects, but he's now addressing the people. And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. So with that right there, if you just took that out of context, that'd be a good, you know, memory verse for vacation Bible school, or, you know, let's make sure our people know how to do good deeds. In context, it's probably referring, he's just got to say, send them speedily on their way with financial support, everything they need to get to their next location. Well, what is Titus supposed to do? Just, you know, tap into the church budget? And, well, okay, now you're thinking 2026, if there's a church budget, we'll just have some donations, we'll just give. It's like, where are they going to get the support from? It's going to come from the people. It's not a highly organized budget in a sense. So when he says, let our people learn to devote themselves to good works, he's saying, this is what you're here. If this is their chance to dedicate themselves to something of good works, has nothing to do with them. They're going to have no benefit of it. But now Zenas and Apollos need help getting to their next location. Here's your chance. Here's your chance to step up and not be of the unfruitful, barbaric, self-centered culture and actually step out of that and give something that you'll receive no benefit from, except it's going to help advance these people who are advancing the gospel. And so when I think that chapter 3, verse 14 is directly related to what he's just got done saying, and let our people, not you, Titus, doesn't have a part-time job that he's sending missionaries around, tell the people we have a need. Let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of, and that right here's I mentioned it already, urgent need, cases of urgent need. I mean, if we went around the room, all of us have needs right now. And I could go on and tell you, I've got this need and this need, and you go, oh, well, we should do some for Ganley. It's like, no. I've got needs, but they're my responsibility. They're something I can handle. I've got to mow my own yard. I'm going to have to go get groceries, all these, you know, all these things I have to struggle with in life. But, you know, I've got needs, but it's like, this is not your problem. We can sit around and talk after church or Bible study about how difficult life is. But at the end of the day, that's just part of our conversation. Oh, I've got to do this. I'm so busy. Yeah. But it's like, it was just part of the conversation. I don't care. It was fun talking to you about it. But you're not expecting me to help you. It's not an urgent need. But there are cases that are urgent need, things that we need to step in and help someone. And you got to be careful that, again, you've got to, both sides of this, you got to be sensitive to help people, but you also have to be sensitive that it's like, listen, this person doesn't know the boundaries. This person wants me to get involved in something that's not my problem. Well, you should care. I do care. I'll pray for you, but I'm not going to give you money for that. I'm not going to show up and do that for you. That's your responsibility. Now, that doesn't mean you never. There's certain times you're going to give money to help something out, or there's times you're going to show up and help. But those are described right here. I mean, here's the verse. So as to help, let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need. To help cases of every time Galen mumbles or murmurs about something, you jump in and help him. It's like, no. That's Galen murmuring about something. Let him suffer until he figures out how to live life. If it's an urgent need, okay, we need to step in and help. So that's just interesting. That's kind of one of those Bible verses that sets you free. Every time someone says, oh, I've got a need. It's like, no, you don't. I'm using a verse. Nonetheless, and they help those urgent needs and not be unfruitful. Here's a couple things in the Greek box there. Let learn, that is the word from mathetes. And you recognize the word possibly mathetes, that's the word for disciple. And again, that means disciples, and not just join. They must learn and live out their teaching. So the first thing, let them learn, is from mathetes. Let them learn as a disciple that you're going to have to start helping and giving things. You're going to have to get involved. And so instead of just, well, I've accepted Christ, or I'm a Christian, I belong to the church, I agree with that doctrine. Okay, that's good, excellent. But the next step is now you start learning, you start becoming a disciple, you start now applying these things. And Paul's saying right here, Apollos and Zenas are coming through and they're on a mission. They're heading down to Alexandria to the church. This is a great chance for your people who've come to the faith to actually begin to disciple themselves and get involved and help in the ministry. And this is because these guys aren't going to finance the trip themselves, so they're going to need some help. So that's that word, let learn. And then good works, I've got that underlined there. What other things we've got here? Urgent need meeting for each one. Yeah, there's that verse, Galatians 6:5.4, for each will have to bear his own load. Learn what is good, so they have fruit. Okay, going to the next page. And not live unproductive lives without fruit. And so the idea there is an unproductive life is a word, is the word acarpo. Acarpo. Let's see if I can write that down here. Again, see if I wrote that correctly. Did I spell that correct? Yes. Carpo. Okay. This right here, carpo, is the word fruit. And is the negative. So this would be no fruit. That would be translated without fruit or fruitless lives. So we do not want them to live unfruitful lives, but to be fruitful. And so that's what's taking place there, the ah is negative. Let them learn refers to learning by doing. Good works or good fruit is addressed in this letter. And those are all the references there of the good works. So Paul's, this whole letter with Titus is, we've got these people, they've accepted the message of Christ. Now they've got to come in and start becoming fruitful and start producing some things. And this would be a great chance when Zenas and Apollos get there that they can show their faith by getting these guys sent somewhere else and get the church growing. Chapter 3, verse 15. Now, this is the last verse. All who are with me send greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be to all of you. So he says, all who are with me. So what is interesting, and that's just for the sake of this, you know, let's say he's gone to Corinth. That's the easiest route. Crete to Corinth to Nicopolis. So now he's in Corinth. So all who are with him in Corinth, and that would mean, who knows who's all with him? The church of Corinth is with him. They're all sending greetings. All of us who are with me, everyone who is with me, that's plural. Everyone with Paul sends you greetings. And that you is singular. And so that means all who are with Paul are sending Titus greetings. So in other words, Titus, you're not alone. The entire church, everyone who's with me, we're sending you greetings. They're saying hi to you. I mean, they're recognizing you, Titus. And that's interesting because that switches. Greet those who love us. So now the greet, if you look down there, that greet is now singular, meaning you greet those, and that's plural. So what's happening here, if you care, is all of us, everyone in Corinth, or whoever's with Paul in Corinth, the group, is saying hi to you, Titus. Now, on our behalf, you, Titus, will you greet all those who are there with you, the plural, that are with you, and those, now they're described. Greet all those who love us in the faith. So those that are with us, who love us in the faith, the idea there is referring to the true believers, not the liars or false brothers already mentioned this letter, but those who share in the faith. Now, they may not know Paul. They may not have met Paul, but they are in the church. And these people that have not met each other, they've got this relationship, which is kind of cool. And you've experienced that with people in other churches. If you find out they're a Christian, they've got faith, you may never know them or have, but there's a connection. This is all this connection from the many to the singular, from the singular to the many, calling for the many to respond to the all up here, and they've never met each other. So the Corinthians and the Cretes, they're having this unity through the many to Titus and Paul all the way through. So you can kind of see how that's developed, which is interesting to see that take place. And then, again, just like the letter began, grace be to all of you. And that switches to the plural. You know, again, grace to all of you, not just Titus, which indicates the closing line of this. It's a personal letter to Titus, but the closing line, grace be to all of you, would indicate that this whole letter is written to Titus, but he's going to then, the whole church is going to hear this direction, and which is, we're hearing it. And so it's not surprising Paul's addressing Titus or he's addressing Timothy, but the content of that letter is written in such a format that he's maybe talking to it in a personal way, but it's to be expected. And he's writing it in the sense that I know this is going to be read by and heard by you all, and grace to you. Since you're hearing this, grace be to you. So again, the personal letter is probably going to be presented to the church. And that's the letter of Titus. And there's so many things in the background there that are taking place as we go through this. Again, I go back to these maps. You know, it brings the something. There's movement in the whole thing. Paul's on Crete. He's coming up to Ephesus, dropping Titus or Timothy off there, going to Troas on his way to Nicopolis. Maybe he didn't make it, or it's this right here. He's in Crete. He's going up to Corinth, which I think is most likely Nicopolis. And then in the spring, he goes over here, maybe visits, and then gets captured in Troas somehow. But he ends up going from Troas to Roman prison. And all that's taking place. Meanwhile, Zenas and the Apollos have come down here to Alexandria. So we got places we haven't heard of in the New Testament as far as the church in Alexandria, different things. Any questions at all? Otherwise, we're done with the book of Titus.